Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome. Congratulations to Nikos and Olga Bornozis and the Capital Link team for organizing an amazing 26th edition of this forum, and many thanks for having us. My name is Alexandros Kosmopoulos, and I'm the managing partner of AKL Law Firm. It is my pleasure to be moderating this panel on Greek real estate. In this 30-minute discussion, our experts will share with you insights on the current state of the Greek market, the opportunities and challenges for investors, as well as what they perceive to be the trends in the market. Real estate has traditionally been one of the key drivers of the Greek economy and is consistently one of the major attracting forces of international investment. Being ourselves an advisory firm that is highly active in the area, we are witnessing signs that the market is maturing. There are three main arguments to that effect. The first is that the investor pool, having Greece under focus, is now expanding. Of course, this is due to the successful financial turnaround of Greece and the achievement of investment-grade ratings. This has helped unlock institutional capital, and we are nowadays experiencing interest from institutional investors, including pension funds and sovereign wealth funds. The second argument is that activity is consistently elevated across all segments, and these segments are very diverse and will be covered by our speakers in the course of this discussion. Last but not least, legal and regulatory reforms are starting to have an impact on the efficiency of transactions and on the experience of investors. Just to name a few, the long and painful transition to the cadastral system is now pretty much active, and there are numerous procedures, particularly in interactions of investors with the public sector, that have been digitalized. It goes without saying that there are further steps to be taken to push this in the right direction, and particularly to deal with uncertainties around greenfield projects outside of urban areas. To help us navigate through this evolving landscape, we have with us four distinguished speakers. Mr. Yannis Paraskevopoulos, heading the Danhos team in Greece in association with BNP. Mr. Dimitris Andriopoulos, the CEO of Demand. Mr. Dimitris Manouchakis, heading the Savills team in Greece. And Mr. Tasos Kazinos, the CEO of Trastor. Dimitris Manouchakis, can we please have a brief comment on the current condition of the market and how important real estate is to attracting international investment?
Thank you, Alexandros. Thank you for opening this discussion with me, and I'd like, first of all, to extend my thanks to Nikos and Olga Bornozis for offering me the opportunity to speak about the Greek real estate market for the third time, for the third consecutive time. I think the Greek real estate market has continued its positive trajectory in 2024 after two very successful years, the after-COVID years, post-COVID, 2022 and 2023. I believe that the main drivers for this success is the competitiveness of our real estate market, especially in two specific factors. I think the first one are the competitive yields that the Greek real estate product continues offering comparing to other rival European markets, and also the great capital appreciation potential. What we have seen happening over the last two, three years is that the Greek market is becoming more and more international by attracting many foreign investors, especially foreign private equity funds, high-net-worth individuals, and I would even say Golden Visa buyers. The market, I think the real estate market is very important for the Greek economy, and especially in terms of foreign direct investments, because so far We have seen in the market attracting approximately 2 billion euros of investments in real estate in 2023. And in the first half of 2024, this amount seems to be higher comparing on a year-on-year basis, because the first half of 2024 has attracted 1.2 billion euros. This means that foreign real estate represents approximately 35 to 40% of foreign direct investments in Greece. And I think this is indicative of how important this sector is for the Greek economy.
Thank you, Dimitri. This is very impressive. Tasso, over the past couple of years, we have witnessed challenges in international real estate, particularly offices, both in the U.S. and most of Europe. On the other hand, Greece is overperforming. In your view, which are the factors which explain this divergence?
Yes, thank you. Good morning, everybody, and thank you for attending our panel. I think in the U.S., the discussion whether office is dead is quite pronounced, and pretty much since the pandemic, I think a lot of people in the U.S. and much of Europe thought that the market will never rebound, will never go back to its pre-pandemic levels. And I think for this reason, we've had a significant drop in transaction volume and prices. But I think the picture in Greece has been quite different and quite distinct from the U.S., but a lot of other European capitals. And there are four primary reasons for that, in my view. The first one is this much slower adoption of remote work that we've seen taking place in Greece. So, you know, there's a recent, I think also JP Morgan report that sort of talks about, you know, 70% of people working in Tokyo back to the office 5 days a week, with about a third, let's say, of those working in London returning back to the office. So we see that, you know, the adoption of remote work has a lot of things to do with, you know, the type of work, but also societal norms and customs. And I think in Greece, we do have the lowest remote work percentage amongst most of the Eurozone countries, with about 7.5%, as opposed to about, I think, 22% in the European average. So I think this one is one of the reasons why we have observed steady demand for offices, particularly in Athens. The second one is a very large gap between demand and supply. And I think it's pretty evident that during the economic crisis of 10 plus years, very little stock has been developed, very little speculative. And this actually has created you know, this imbalance, which is now driving higher rents. Which brings me to green offices, which is also a very big trend that's underpinning a lot of investment going on into the sector, not only with regards to multinationals that are preferring these type of premises, but we've seen that the premium that's created out of green buildings, which is about 18 to 20% increase in rents, it's also bringing a lot of investment into the sector. And then last but not least, I think, you know, the robust economic performance of Greece underpins growth and investments in the sector. I think we will hear today that Greece is expected to have a GDP growth of about 2.2% for the year, versus, I think, 0.8 or thereabout for the Eurozone, and something to be continued into next year. So, you know, the reduction in unemployment, the increase in GDP also underpins growth investment. So I think those four factors significantly differentiate the Greece office sector. And when we're talking to our colleagues in the U.S., they might think we're a little bit crazy or what, you know, why you're still investing in office. But I think it's important to understand that the Greek real estate sector, as well as its fundamentals, are at a very different sort of trajectory and part of the cycle than in the U.S. Thank you.
Thank you, Tasso. Yanni, tourism has been named the locomotive of the Greek economy. Where does Greece stand on the international hotel map, and what are the criteria applied by international investors in selecting their assets and choosing whether or not to invest in hospitality assets?
Yeah, Greece remains a major target for institutional private equity funds and other kinds of investors. local and international ones. The numbers are supporting that. We have a record year 2024. We will have more than 20 billion euros revenues and more than 32 million visitors in the country. We have also an increase in the ADR and the RevPAR, revenue per available rooms, which are very well known and very important KPIs for the hotel performance. RevPAR will increase in Athens 10-15% and in Thessaloniki 9% on a year-by-year comparison. And we have seen also international investments coming to Greece. We have noticed the last one from the acquisition of IHIP from Grand Hyatt Athens, from Heinz, previously owned by Heinz and the Henderson Parks, which is actually a 230 million euros acquisition, perhaps the biggest single asset acquisition that took part in Greece in every asset class. And okay, there are also some challenges comparing to this growth. We have two major destinations of Athens, of Greece, which is Mykonos Santorini, that needs to be repositioned. They have a negative publicity last years. They were discussed about overpricing and over tourism. And we have also some infrastructure matters that have to be solved concerning, for example, water supply in specific islands. But if you see the numbers of the investment in the country, we think that this can overpass in the future. In the first semester of 2024, more than 400 million euros have been invested only in hospitality. And we expect at the end of the year that this number will approach the 1 billion mark.
Thank you, Yanis. Dimitri Andriopoulou, demand is both a developer and an investor in its own right. And you have managed to access a unique asset class, if I may say, which is urban regeneration. These projects originally seem impossible to pull off because they are very risky. You are approaching neighborhoods with a new attitude. What are the challenges you have experienced, and what is the impact on the city and on the your experience on the investment side?
Thank you very much, Alex. First of all, good morning, everybody. In that beautiful room, I see the bar at the end there without the tender, and this count to finish the speech clock, which is a piece of art. Somebody should buy that at the end. You see how beautiful it is, 1704 to go. So, I will start answering the topic of the convention, why to invest in Greece. And today in the morning I was reading the Financial Times, and there was an article about J.P. Morgan declaring that or advising the investors and the investor community, do not invest in EU except Greece. So I have nothing to add on that. Now, going to the development, you know, development is a very serious and responsible business, because we developers, by developing something, we influence the life of people. So people are sensitive, politicians are sensitive, and speaking about regeneration, which we do the last over 10 years, instead of developing a building, we do regeneration, meaning that working together with a municipality or with the government, we try to improve the infrastructure of the neighborhood and at the same time create something with a lot of multipliers in the economy. As a company, I remember a company is using the logo, nothing is impossible. So by following that trajectory, everything is possible. And I think we deal properly by communicating our ideas, working with the local authorities, creating something which is adding value and is financially appropriate, of course, aesthetically as well. and improving the neighborhood. The example of the Papastratos old tobacco factory, or the Fix brewery in Thessaloniki, or the Softex old paper mill are the proofs of, the way we develop all those areas. And by definition, it's difficult because to change something which used to be a factory, you should enter to a lot of challenges. Infrastructure is the number one criteria. I mean, proximity to the subway, to the main road system, etc., etc. And it's something very important to take into consideration when you decide such a project.
Thank you. These are impressive projects, and perhaps you should look them up, in my opinion. Dimitri Manousaki, Greece's geographical position favors it when it comes to logistics. What is your view on the current state of the market and the trends around this sector?
Yes, I think industrial and logistics has been among the most active real estate asset classes over the last few years. I think along with hospitality, they are the front runners in this race, investment race, and they have achieved to attract at least in 2023 350 million euros in investments in the sector. The reason about that is, first of all, the positioning of the country as a gateway to Southeastern Europe. Of course, the country has drastically improved its infrastructure, especially ports, after the privatization of the port of Piraeus and the port of Thessaloniki. But at the same time, I think another catalyst was the pandemic. This changed a lot the consumer behavior and has assisted very much the logistics sector to improve and to expand, especially close to the two main hubs of the country, Athens and Thessaloniki. Due to this surge in demand, we have seen rental growth, and we have also seen yield compression because of the, I would say, massive interest of investors to move their capital towards this investment product. In terms of rental growth, I think that over the last 2-3 years we have seen an increase in the order of 30% of rents, starting back in 2021 from almost 4 euros per square meter per month in the prime logistics areas around Athens. And today we are in a position to discuss about almost 6 euros, 5.5 to 6 euros. Per square meter per month. At the same time, and if we check how yields have moved from 2017 till today, we have seen almost a 300 bips decrease, starting from 10%, almost 10% in 2017, down to 7%, and in certain cases, below 7%. We have seen agreements happening below 7%. This shows the dynamism of the sector, and I believe there is a serious backlog here.
Thank you very much, Dimitri. Tasso, outside of offices and logistics, which are Trastor's primary investment focus, which other areas would you pick as interesting opportunities for investors?
Yeah, sure. Well, I think when us real estate people usually think of the space, we think of traditional asset classes. So we would talk about office, retail, logistics, and we would also think about the strategy we employ for investment in that area. So, for instance, we might say we are core, we are developers, we are opportunistic. So I think during the financial crisis, definitely Greece has attracted, I would say, more opportunistic or distressed real estate investors, and investors that were also looking at deploying capital in real estate-backed NPLs. Now, I think Greece has moved on, and the economy, I think we all know, it's growing, it's robust, and I think that it's also time for institutional and international investors to change their mindset and their approach and the framework that they would use when they invest in Greek real estate. And I'd like to kind of maybe suggest maybe a new way or a different model of thinking about it. So at Trusta, we think about investments in real estate in four big brackets. So you've got...
Tessa, can you please speak closer to the mic?
Yeah. So you've got asset classes that are linked to the economy. So you've got things like offices and retail spaces and everything that has to do with the growth of GDP and employment. Then you've got asset classes that are linked mostly to, I would say, demographic changes. So things like hospitals, schools, student housing, affordable housing, that are related, obviously, to demographics, aging population, societal sort of needs. You've got technology-linked assets. So this would include assets that would support investments in data centers or life sciences. And then you've got the infrastructure type of investments. So investments in roads or airports or renewable energy facilities and the like. So I think when we start now talking to institutional investors coming to Greece, I think they should think about that framework and think about investing in what are called sort of platform investing. So not just coming in and deploying capital to acquire an office or some other real estate asset, but actually investing capital to buy the asset and build up the operating platform or invest in both. So that's obviously a much more interesting proposition because you invest in the entire P&L of the business. You stop looking at real estate as a static asset, but more of a dynamic asset from which you will get rent, but also revenue from value-added services. And Greece has proven a success in that when it comes to hospitality. As Yannis said, you know, one of the largest asset classes, one that has attracted most international interest. And we see a lot of the foreign investors that have actually gone after a platform investment. You know, they bought the real estate, but they're also building up the hotel company. And I think that if you look at particularly into the demographic-linked asset class, in my view, that presents huge opportunities going forward. So, I mean, there would be things like assisted living within that or student housing or affordable housing or serviced apartments. And I think that international investors coming in, looking at investing in Greece in that with that mindset, they would find a lot of opportunities. Another example, and maybe I just wrap it up, if we look at an example from the technology-led bucket, might be data centers, which might be a more niche investment opportunity, but nonetheless one that would attract hundreds of millions of investment into their Greek real estate.
Thank you, Tasson. Yanni, going back to offices, since this is a strong sector domestically, what are the key criteria in your professional experience that investors and users apply in selecting appropriate space? And how does sustainability and infrastructure affect those choices?
As Tassos very well said before, we are in a different cycle, different point of the cycle regarding office spaces in Greece. That is coming because of the scarcity of the product of Grade A offices, especially in Athens and Thessaloniki. What is the investors and the users are now looking for are new bioclimatic green buildings with a context of sustainability, of well-being, of energy saving, which also is what the users are looking for, which makes, of course, that very attractive for the investors. The tenants, this is a transformation in the Greek real estate market, in the Greek office market, in the last 3-4 years, because also the tenants acknowledge to pay higher rents because they want to be part of and to be settled in this kind of buildings, due to the fact that they have in the policy, corporate policy, to adjust to ESG criteria, because they don't see only the rent as is, but also the whole operation expenses, which is, could be much lower in this kind of investments and this kind of products. And also, what also Tasos mentioned before, is because now we have the employees coming back to the office in Greece. Okay, it didn't happen very much, but also international clients look at that. They come back to the office, they have to provide to their employees a well-being environment, and an improving environment also attracts new talent. It is easy to attract new talents. From the investor point of view, they also want to, they are really happy to attract higher rents. They have lower expenses. They have a lower vacancy rates, which is very important. And also the void periods are less, okay, in this kind of buildings. Also, the projects can be, these projects can be easily financed to green bonds, RRF, and so on. And they are more resilient in the time period. This trend will continue. We will have rental growth that is coming up in the next 2 years for sure, but we expect the stabilization in a higher rents than around 30 to 33 euros per square meter in this kind of certified green new buildings, especially in the other sector.
Thank you, Yanni. Dimitri, we have two market consultants of the highest caliber here and one institutional investor, but they have provided us with a technical analysis. As a developer, you need to look further ahead than the rest. Are there any future trends that you are able to detect that you can share with us?
I think that for the foreseeable future, which is 20 years in development, because it depends from infrastructure, which takes a lot of time, I think Greece is going to be doing extremely well for a number of reasons. I will mention two of them. One is, first time ever the city is going to be looking the sea, the water. Athens, from the early 50s, was developed towards the mountains, which is crazy, but it happened. For a number of reasons. The last 5 years with Ellinikon and other projects, the city is approaching the sea. So the Athenian Riviera is a huge opportunity and a huge topic for every investor, for the developers, for the entire Greek community and international community. And as an example, the Ellinikon is going to be completed if runs smoothly in 20 years' time. And next to Ellinikon and before and after, there is a big number of projects as well. Topic number two is the city center. The city center, because the presence of too many ministries and governmental and affiliated functions, after 2-3 o'clock was always empty. With the Ministry Park, which is a real project now and is going to be a very big PPP project, I think is going to be completed between the 5 and 6 next years. A big number of buildings, 146 actually, 120 of them private and 25 of them publicly owned, are going to be available. So I think people are going to move and live again in the city center. Not only hospitality projects, offices are going to go back in the city center. And those, I mean, and talking about the city center, I mean the greater city center, including, you know, the periphery from Acropolis to Botanikos to Omonia Square, etc. So only those two opportunities are going to keep busy development for the next 20 years and are going to change the shape and the image of the city.
Thank you. This is very interesting. I think we have just enough time for one or perhaps a couple of questions from the audience. Would any of our guests want to address any of the speakers? No? Yes, please.
Yeah.
Reality is that we saw a devaluation over 70% between 2011 and 2016. And since 2019, we are about to reach the levels of 2008. Still, we are on average 50% cheaper than other competitive cities like Milan, Barcelona, Berlin, Munich, etc. So, you know, things are obvious for investors. If the average resi price in the metropolitan Athens is still under 3,000 euros, and in Lisbon, Munich, Milan is over 6,000, there is the opportunity. And COVID changed that dramatically, because for first time ever, we have Europeans and others investing in Greece. That was not a strategy. It happened.
Just to add on that, if I'm allowed, about the residential prices, we have seen the residential prices growing since 2017-18 by almost 50%. And Dimitris mentioned before about the city facing the sea again, the Athenian Riviera. What we have seen happening is, I mean, from almost 5,000 euros per square meter, which was an expensive price for the Greek standards, now apartments selling for 12 to 13,000 euros per square meter. And one more piece of information. Athens is, at the moment, number one city in terms of prime residential growth, with 6.1% growth, comparing to Madrid, which was 4%, Barcelona 3.4%, and Rome 3.3%. This shows what I said to you in the beginning about the potential of capital appreciation. It's important to have this in mind.
Thank you. I think we've run out of time. Many thanks to our distinguished speakers. Many thanks to you for attending.